we're going to join together in a congregational liturgy that allows us to use our voices to invite the Holy Spirit. You are invited to read the words that are in bold, and I'll lead the other parts. Let's read together. In those days, says the Lord, in those days, in those days, God exhaled the Holy Spirit. And as dancing flames heralded the arrival of something new, in those days, the church was born out of fear and fire. The church was born. And so we pray. Set our hearts on fire. And grow us anew. Uprooting us when we have been unmoved. Breathe on us your peace. For we are yours, your church, your people, filled with your Spirit. Amen. 2 and a bit years ago, Susanna and I met for a conversation and prayer. And at that time, Susanna spoke of how God, through the Holy Spirit, was nudging her into something new and something that seemed big, bigger than what she could imagine journeying into. And as we spoke, there was great evidence of the Holy Spirit's guidance, shedding light in shadowy places. And I recall the Holy Spirit revealing in new ways to Susanna the gifts and the talents that God had placed within her. I recall God softening the places that were full of fear and offering enough light for first steps on this new path. The Holy Spirit has continued to get Susanna's attention and has journeyed with her into new places where her gifts and her talents continue to be used to encourage God's people and to seek justice. And this morning, I've invited Susanna to share about a new part of her journey that was birthed by the Holy Spirit 2 and a bit years ago, even earlier than that, actually. And after she shares, we're going to offer a blessing to her as her faith community. So, Susanna, I invite you to come forward.
Good morning. I've shared bits and pieces about the threatened farmland in Wilmot before, and I'll try not to be too repetitive, but it's kind of central in my life right now. There are 6 farms that are threatened with expropriation by the region of Waterloo. I grew up on a farm across the road from where this land is, and it's been just over 2 years since all of this started. At first, it was really hard to write about the land under threat. I felt hopelessness, and I asked God where or if there was hope in this. I found his hope when I started to speak up. I began using my writing and my voice to help advocate and teach about agriculture in our community. I did a lot of learning, too, during that time. I started to dream about writing about this farmland for a national audience. I'm part of our local writing group where we share our works in progress and we discuss what's working well and what's needing improvement. We're close, we've been together for several years, and we understand one another's work really well. Late last fall, when I shared a particular piece of my writing about the cabbage farm I grew up on, one of my writing friends said that the piece made her think of an opportunity at the Banff Center for the Arts. She sent me the link and she really encouraged me to apply. The Banff Center for the Arts is Canada's arts incubator. There are music and dance programs, there's visual arts opportunities, and there are writing residencies. It's funded in part by the Canada Council for the Arts. This is Canada saying that the arts matter, and developing distinctly Canadian art is worth national investment. It's not winning anything. It's the opportunity to showcase and grow what you can do. I don't usually use AI, but I asked ChatGPT a little while ago, what's a sports equivalent to being accepted to the Banff Center? According to ChatGPT, it's like being drafted to the pros or making it onto the Olympic team, but for the arts. So when my friend encouraged me to apply, I thought, ha, no way I'm going to get accepted. In an unrelated conversation right after, another friend, in the context of offering our work and our opportunities entirely to God, said something about, what would you do if you knew you wouldn't fail? And I immediately thought, oh, I'd apply to Banff. So I guess I'm applying to Banff. While working on the application, I talked to some of the people in my circles who are arts people, and was told it's really good I'm applying now because most people don't get accepted on their first try, and so you have to try a few times. So I thought, great, I'll start now, and in a few years I'll get accepted. And then I got accepted. And I thought, wait, that wasn't supposed to happen yet. I can't do it. It's 3 weeks away. I have kids. This is a lot. It's kind of like going back to school, and it's a very costly program. And so when I found out that the tuition was covered, I felt like that was God saying, go. This residency is focused on long-form journalism and creative nonfiction. I'm going to the Banff Center for the Arts to tell the story of a little cabbage farm in Wilmot. The story of the woman who runs it, and how important farming is despite the threatened expropriation around that little cabbage farm. I'll be working with faculty experts in these fields of writing. This is the opportunity I've been building towards for the past 2 years. I did not know that. I leave in 1 week. At this point, I'm still feeling very nervous about going. It's a huge opportunity, and like most steps forward in my writing career, everything feels new, and I don't know what I'm doing. But when I look at the arc of this story, I guess I feel like I belong. From those early days when I found out about the farmland threat, to talking about what's going on and starting to publicly advocate and learning more about farming and what agriculture looks like across the country. Even the way God led me to a job in journalism at Canadian Mennonite before all this began, so that I could have 3 years of training in journalism before I step onto this BAMP stage. Part of me still feels like a little kid way out of my depth. And then I look at my friend who runs the cabbage farm, and I look at the teenagers I know who want to become farmers. I guess I see why God took a farm kid who still loves the fields and raised her to be a writer. I can bridge these worlds. So you can pray first for my family. 3 weeks is a long time to be away. It will be a stretch for all of us. You can pray for good health and that I can take advantage of this gift well. And you can pray that whatever God's plan is for my work is carried out. I hope I can raise some awareness, both in what's happening in Wilmot and in communities like it, and also awareness in what agriculture is. I hope I can make good connections and continue to tell this story with integrity and hope.
Let's pray together. God, through song and through story, already we have invited you through your Holy Spirit to be present this morning. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come in your fullness, to come gently, to come clearly, to speak to us in ways that we can hear. Refresh in us the weary places. Give us living water. Give us light for pathways. Thank you that we just sang a psalm, turn our laments into a love song, and yet I will praise you. May we be people of praise. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This morning, we're continuing our series on telling the story. And as you know, Scripture is full of story. Stories that tell us of the larger story of God. We read stories of amazing feats, of courage, of journey, of stumbling, of repenting, of destroying, and of building. We hear stories of families, of salvation, of light in the darkness. And within Scripture, we are invited to find the stories that align with our own personal journeys, We are invited to go into the stories of the Bible for direction, for comfort, for wisdom, and for hope, wherever our life story is. The Psalms are filled with stories, stories that are often written in the form of poetry with words that bring images to mind. As a psalmist tells their stories, they do not hold back in expressing emotions, all their emotions. They do not hold back their anger nor their praise. They do not hold back their sorrows nor their joy. The Psalms are rich in stories and rich in emotions. And within the Psalms, we most likely can find words and images and expressions of emotions that both help us to know that we are not alone and that God welcomes our full expression of emotions, of questions, and of praise. I love that I can find myself in the Psalms. My story, my struggles, my awe, my love of God, all of these are splashed across the pages of the Psalms. There is angst, there is doubt, there is weakness expressed, there is confusion, and there is despair, and there is desire to give up. And there are reminders of the strength that we find in Christ and the invitation to follow God to places of safety and of shelter, no matter what. There are images of God that provide me with deep comfort and care. And there are expressions of praise that give me words when awe is hard to express. There is deep, abiding joy found in the Psalms as we are reminded that God is with us always. The Psalms also offer us a way of returning to God. In the vast majority of Psalms, there is a "and yet" or "but I will praise you." We sang that this morning, "yet I will praise you." And it is the "yet" where we turn the corner and we are redirected back to God. We bring our focus back. We bring our prayers back to God. And as we turn the corner, as we say, "yet I will praise you," it is there that we find the beauty of God's faithfulness, of God's patience, his protection, his power, and his wisdom, and his grace. In the Psalms, we are reminded who we are, the fullness of who we are, and we are reminded of the fullness of who God is. I'm going to invite Barb up to share how she found her own story in Psalm 40. And Barb is going to share deep from the well of her journey. And I often think, Barb, it's an honor when people invite us into the depth of their story, and I also know it's not easy. So thank you for agreeing to share this morning. I'll get you a mic.
I do have a big voice.
Yeah. Hello, Gathering family. So Catherine asked me to share a little bit of my story today. She decided to ask that based on a psalm that I had rewritten. You see, I just completed a 2-year certification program in spiritual companionship. If you're interested in what that is, I'd love to talk to you about it later. But we got together, as those of us in the course, in January for our final retreat together. So the only thing I had left to do was my final project, sort of integrating everything that I had learned and experienced over the past 2 years. A couple weeks after I returned from this retreat, Chris Pott spoke at church, and he centered his talk around Psalm 40. As he was talking, it struck me that Psalm 40 might make an interesting way to integrate some of my learnings and things that I've experienced over the course of these 2 years. So thanks, Chris, for helping inspire me to write this psalm. I'm very drawn to Psalm 40, and I have been for a long time, partly, I think, because of the verse where it talks about the mud and the mire. The first two verses say, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and set my feet upon a rock. I guess the reason I'm drawn to this is because I've had quite a bit of mud and mire in my life. And God has been present through it all. I have been so warmly welcomed into this community at the gathering, and I'm so grateful for you. I know, though, there is much about me that you do not know. So while this may give me what I call a vulnerability hangover, I want you to know me. My early life was charmed. I had amazing, stable parents, great household. When I was off at university, I met the man who would become my husband, married when I was about 24, had three amazing children. It really wasn't until I was in my 40s that I began to experience the mud and the mire of life. I'll give you just a few. I had a stroke at 49. I was in the best shape of my life at that point, and there was no reason, according to the medical community, for me to have a stroke. Prior to this, I always trusted my body, but now I couldn't. Who am I as a non-healthy person? I have three wonderful children. In my 40s, two of them came out as queer. This was a grief for me and my husband. We struggled to know how to be both Christians and parents of gay kids. Who am I in liminal space, in the in-between? In 2016, my husband was diagnosed with leukemia and died 6 months later. His illness, called AML, was aggressive, and those 6 months were the hardest I've ever had. Adrian was a pastor, a leader. He was goofy. He was wonderful. He was the love of my life. I would say we were soulmates. And when he died, I felt like I was missing an arm and a leg. My children were already in their 20s, but they had so much growing up to do. And I was alone. Who am I without this man? I remarried in 2020. However, that man betrayed me. He was emotionally and mentally abusive. So now, I'm not only widowed, but I'm also divorced. That abuse left me angry and uncertain. Good thing I brought a Kleenex up here, see if I can find it. Am I really who I thought I was? In 2022, I had my second stroke. After that, I was struck with a mystery illness that the medical community struggled to help me with. When I returned home from the hospital, I was unable to walk and take care of myself. As you can tell, I have recovered with the help of friends, family, and an amazing neurologist from Sunnybrook. But some pieces of this mystery illness are still with me. Who am I if I can't do? Each struggle brought questions. Each struggle affected me mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But usually, I was able to keep going, to continue to step forward. It was the mystery illness that stopped me. Grief is funny that way, grief and struggle. Sometimes it seems like the thing you should be able to handle easily is the thing that pushes you over the edge. Late in 2023, I found myself in a place that I had never been before. All the questions I hadn't asked began to surface, and some of the questions I hadn't answered. I questioned everything about my life and my relationship with God. I entered a period of darkness, and I felt like I was flailing around in that darkness, trying to find a way forward. Many of the things that I had structured my life around began to fall away, and I felt like I was hanging on by my fingertips. What is most important? How can I change? How much can I change without losing who I am? Can I live with the pain of not knowing? Can I let go? Looking back, I see that the timing of this was good, or maybe God, because I was in the middle of my first year of the spiritual companioning course, which focused on me and my spiritual journey. I was expected to read and reflect on my inner life. So many books from authors I never would have picked up on my own. And time to reflect on what I had heard and experienced. This final project was one last time to reflect on the journey I was on. I don't know why I was inspired by Chris to write the Psalm 40, except that I've often found myself in the Psalms, and I've used the Psalms as a way to find my story in the Bible. To me, they're so honest and hopeful. My version of Psalm 40 is a way of making sense of my journey with the darkness, dark night of the soul, as John of the Cross says. And it's also a way of making sense of where I am now and how God has shown up in it all. I was amazed how easily I was able to fit what happened to me and how I felt into Psalm 40. Once I started writing, the words just flew onto the page. My hope today is that if you are struggling in the mud, in the mire, or in the darkness, that you'll be able to relate to what I've written in my psalm. Perhaps you will find hope there. Psalm 40, as rewritten by Barb Van Giesen. I was in darkness and waited on God. Hope and faith were frail. His help came in unusual ways: friends, authors, therapists. He showed me the mud I was stuck in, the mire holding me. A sliver of light entered my darkness. I felt a foundation to stand on. It didn't make sense, but I had a new way to see God, more to praise about them. My journey shared helped others struggling. Blessed are those who look for the divine, knowing it's easy to give up, easier to walk away. The divine is everywhere, moving through so many disparate things, bigger and more wonderful than we know. I can't even begin to explain in words or symbols who the divine is. Abba, you don't want me to give up my intellect or sacrifice my personality. Using specific words or doing the right things isn't important to you. My darkness opened me up to listen differently. I saw your pinpricks of light and your presence with me in the dark. I felt your deep love for broken me. I want to continue to be part of yourself. I long to know you are with me. I talk about you all over, letting others hear my story. Your bigness and willingness to walk in the dark with me has me proclaiming you everywhere. The power of your spirit causes me to sing and worship without fear. Please keep showing up, Abba. Continue to show me more of you. When I was stuck, I struggled to find my way. Angry, sad, frustrated, fists up, head down. I was sure I was too far for you to reach. I trust you to help me again when things are hard. Keep me on the path of light and dark, aware of what I don't know. Those who want to pull me back, keep them away from me. As I search for you, keep me close to the light, even if it's just pinpricks. Bless those who speak about you in unusual ways, who widen my sphere. And me, still broken, still wading through the darkness. But you see me. I wait again with more hope, faith deeper. Please, Abba, show me the next step. Just enough light for that.
Thank you, Barb. It's encouraging when we see evidence of the Spirit moving in the gathering church. And to think that when Chris was speaking, and I'm going to share a little bit, when Chris phoned me earlier before as he was writing his sermon, he said, "I don't really know if I have a sermon, Catherine." And we talked about it a little bit, and to think that that sermon, based on Psalm 40, flowed into Barb, and the Spirit ignited in her creativity and a way to tell her story and offer praise. And then she shares that to us as a way of testimony and as a way of encouragement. So may we continue to look for and to find God, the pinpricks of light, all the way throughout our days. Let's stand together, if you're able, for our last song. I leave you with this blessing over your week. As you enter a new week, may you experience God's presence. May you feel God pouring out the Holy Spirit over your heads and your thoughts and the words of your lips, over your heart and your feelings and emotions and your compassion for all others, and over your hands and over your feet as you put into action all that God commands you. May the Spirit of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Go in God's peace. If you would like prayer this morning, I'll be up front.